Are you ready to worship? Let me just give you a few words of guidance this morning, what's going to be happening. We are recording the sermon as we speak as well, and everything going on and it'll be on our website later on today. I want to give you words of peace, love, and comfort. And the only place that I know to do that is from the Word of God. You know, the way in which we worship, for the most part, has not changed. Because we worship from our hearts. Yes, we do come to this place and we will gather here once again. But at this point in time, the place has changed of where we're going to worship. I'll ask you, though, that if you're multitasking, doing the dishes or seeing about some cooking, please put that aside and to pay attention and to focus, to sing along. Raise your hands in your living room or wherever you are. It's okay. Take notes, and by all means, even though I won't hear it, it will be seen. Say amen. Say amen. And if you think you feel weird, how do you think Eric and I feel right now? It is a strange feeling, but we will be fine. You will be too. And if we can sit through a movie for an hour and a half to 2 hours, I know that we can sit through this. Is that right, Eric?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. So we are recording. At the end, we'll have some information that will be given. I have it on a board right here. Because our offering, all of these things are changing. The opportunities to give will be multifaceted. We won't have an offering time in the service, but that's okay. We have already sent out some envelopes and some contact information. We'll get to that at the end of the service as well, because we still have bills to pay and responsibilities to meet as a church. We will be able to gather again, though, I have no doubt. But I'm going to be in the book of Acts this morning, chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there, open up there, and put your finger, and I'll be talking to that in just a moment. But I'm titling this sermon because it's where we are as a church. It's titled The End Gathering. And it's the book of Acts, the early church, where things were just pretty much getting started. It's the formation of the Christian church. But let me give you some of the questions that I've had presented to me in the last couple of weeks as this was progressively getting worse. And so much to pray for and so many things to be concerned with. I'm not worried. I'm not afraid. We are good, but we have concerns and we have loved ones that we just care about. Here's some of the questions. Now, what do we do? What do we do, Pastor? You mean we can't go to church? We can't open the doors and have church? The government said we can't worship. Is that what the governor and the president have said? Nothing was said about worshiping God or believing in false doctrine. No, do we have to limit the size of gatherings, practice social distance protocols for the safety and health of ourselves and our neighbors? Yes. This is a real pandemic. And so what do we do? We can't have church? Of course we can have church. What are we doing right now? I was looking at the fees that they were coming in on Mona's phone from Missouri, New Mexico, Florida. I've lost track. And there's people hosting watch parties on their personal Facebook pages. And I think that's just incredible. So what audience are we going to reach today? I really have no clue. But here's the thing. We're going to have church. So the question becomes, what did the newest believers do? I mean, the very, very earliest believers, the beginnings of the church, what did they do when Peter preached that first sermon that we have that is recorded after Jesus' ascension? What did they do? We're going to look at that. But first, we need to read the Word of God. And if I love to stand, when we read the word, I'm going to invite you to stand wherever you are, unless you're driving. Okay, don't do that. Just I got to remember that. There's people. But if you can, please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. That's everybody here too. You too, Chris. Deacon, get up. Okay. The ingathering. The book of Acts, chapter 2, starting verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Well, I've heard that. And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And so then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Father, thank you for this word. May we as a church understand it is not about the building or the place, but it is about our hearts and how we gather and how we reach people for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. So what led to this? Well, let me turn back to Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. This is what led to this. Jesus has told them, you will receive the power and all of these things, verse 8. But verse 9, this is where it started. And after he had said these things, now Jesus was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. We're going to see that again, just reverse order, okay? And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Right away, we see the men standing around gazing into the sky. And they had to be told, "Go. He's coming back. Don't worry about it. He will return." So what happened when they were told to go away? Because you got stuff to do. They went to verse 13 here. When they had entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus and son of Simon the Zealot and Judas, the son of James. And they were all, this is what I want you to capture. They were all one mind. Listen, church. They were all of one mind and were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Maybe that's what we also need to do in our homes, continually devote ourselves to prayer. But it goes on, what was continuing on, this was weeks or a few weeks, days had passed, when the day of Pentecost had come, in chapter 2, verse 1, they were all together in one place. Again, they see the church? They're gathering together. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house like where they were sitting. We see things moving and stirring, and from there things are happening. And Peter preaches his sermon, and here he is. He's with Peter's there. He takes his stand, verse 14, with the 11. raising his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. And he preached a sermon. And it takes us to verse 37. After the sermon, and when they had heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? What did they do? See, Peter's hearers, the ones who heard the sermon, they came under deep conviction. Why? Because he was talking to the Jews and the Hebrews, because they had shared a responsibility to what happened to Jesus. His execution, that is. They were responsible. And you know what? We should share that same conviction. Because it was sin that put Jesus on the cross. And it was sin that executed Jesus. Not only should they have felt a deep conviction, but so should a lost person. And sin, he died for all. The entire world. People were also convicted of this at that point in time. They were convicted because Peter preached the Old Testament prophecies that were being fulfilled. They were coming true. And all of a sudden, people say, whoa, wait a minute. The Old Testament speaks to this. So number one, they felt a conviction because they played a part in Jesus' execution. And second thing is prophecies being fulfilled. Guess what? Nothing has changed. We share a commonality with this because it is sin that put Jesus on the cross and executed him. And there's also Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled and New Testament prophecies being fulfilled today. So the question in verse 37, what shall we do, is the same question I asked at the beginning. And I'm going to give you three things today. You know, I like my 3 points. The first thing we see in verse 39 is we see a promise. God's got a promise for us. He promises us this. See, the central theme of the book of Acts is that all people can get saved. And they're going to get saved through the witness of the church. See, it's not about just Jews anymore, because it's reaching out to the Gentiles. Unless you're Hebrew descent, we are Gentiles. See, Jesus died for all, and this good news extends beyond them to include Gentiles. And the Bible says, as many as God will call. He's calling everyone. There's also a term used here, far off. You notice that? Those who are far off. And as we look at this, what we see, it denotes something here. Number one, it denotes the Gentiles were geographically far off, away from Jerusalem. So those who are far off in this promise, for all of you who are far off, and he goes on, but they're also, as Gentiles, they were far off from the knowledge of God. They were not known as God's people. The Hebrews are, even to this day. But we, as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, become adopted into this wonderful family, but we're still far off from the knowledge of God unless we get saved. See, God's promise here is not as geographical, but it's also from salvation. He promises, and no matter where you are, see, geography does not matter anymore. This medium that we're using here is crossing borders and boundaries. We have no clue where it will end up or who will see this. So geographically speaking, everyone is far off, wherever you are. And even in your spirituality, how far off are we at times? But God promises, he gives us a promise right here in verse 39. That he will call to himself if only someone would cry out his name. We see promises here in verse 39. I love promises from the Lord. I pray that you do too. That gives me comfort and peace, and I know He loves us. Second thing we see is in verse 44. We see people gathering. Let me read it for you again. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. That's what we do on Sunday mornings as a church. This is extending beyond that, and I love it. But on that day, 3,000 were saved. And I'm looking as a pastor, and in one day, you get 3,000 people walk down the aisle of a Baptist church. What are you going to do with them? How are you going to disciple them? I'm freaking out over here. I'm reading the scripture. I said, how did they do this? Because, you know, the pastor does everything. Right? The church did four things. It's right here. Not the pastor. In fact, I don't see a mention of a pastor. The church, the early church, did four things. First thing it did was teach. They taught. You know, and they probably used Peter's sermon notes. Somebody took notes. They always did in that culture. And they had something to start with. They knew the Old Testament. New Testament, it's not there. This is the beginnings of it. So all of a sudden, what do we do with all these people walking down the aisle? Well, they're going to teach them the Old Testament, the prophecies, and they're going to teach them about the salvation that is made known through Christ. They're going to use His sermon notes. They're going to make Christ known through personal testimonies. That's what Peter did. All he did was establish with his sermon some Old Testament prophecies, and he preached from his heart as a witness. And what had Jesus done for him? So they taught, teaching. The second one is fellowship. Now, that's not about a meal. We're going to cover that in a moment. Why would we have a fellowship and breaking bread the next one? That's what's coming up. You see it, right? It's in the scriptures. So they had fellowship. You know what that word is in the Greek? It's koinonia. And what happens here is that it's a deep spiritual connection with someone. It is building up another, one another, edifying each other with Christ. It's getting to know someone, just not just their personalities, but spiritually. And deeply. Fellowship is not. We call this the fellowship hall back here. It's where we have fellowship, right? Yes, we have the breaking of bread, which is number three. You see it coming up next. The fellowship we're talking about here is deep spiritual connection. So the first thing we see, the early church got into teaching, all of them, about their own, even their own personal witness. They had fellowship, koinonia. Then they broke bread. Now, I love to break bread. Don't we love to eat? We're Baptists. But it doesn't matter. People love to eat. You know, and I have no doubt that we will be sharing meals again one day. And I have no doubt today there's stuff either on the stove or in the oven that will be prepared as soon as this is completed. You're going to have a fellowship meal, a breaking of bread with family and friends. Maybe not everybody, but a lot will. And maybe it's been a while since families have done that. It's time to take the foot off the gas pedal of life and let it idle for a little while. And it's okay as a family, if you want to partake of this as the Lord's Supper. That's what they did in the early church. It doesn't have to be me, Brother Marvin, here on a Sunday morning every fifth Sunday. No, it can be done in your home as a family as well. That's what they did in the early church. And the fourth thing we see, what they did is they prayed. You know, they prayed constantly without ceasing. That's a state of mind. It's not always mouthing a prayer. It's also listening to the Lord. And having a state of mind that God is in control, He's still on His throne, and he this did not catch Him by surprise. And that's okay. What we're dealing with is catastrophic on a worldwide level. God will get us through this. Don't panic. That was the sermon last Sunday. Don't panic. Don't panic. But I do believe that we need to pray constantly today in the days to come for deliverance from this pestilence that is upon the land. So these four practices are what is done in a church setting. It's what we try to do here. I implore you to do it at home as well. And this should become the norm. I don't know if it was the norm or not before, but in gatherings of the new church, this was the norm and had all things in common. Now, we don't always agree on things, but I think we should have all things in common, and that is in Christ Jesus. It's called one accord. There's a Greek word for that, homothumadon. It's just a fancy word for saying we believe. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe He lived on this earth, walked on this earth. God walked on this earth. Jesus, His Son, human flesh, and He never once sinned. You believe that, church? You believe that, church? Do you believe that He was executed for something He didn't do? That it was our sins that caused this to happen? Do you believe that, church? That's one accord. You believe this? That's homothumadon. Okay. Do you believe that He died, was in the grave for 3 days, and on that third day He rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures? And He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, and all who call on His name will be saved. Do you believe that, church? I want to hear some amens. Say amen. Put it on the feet, whatever that little thing with the squiggly things are. Say amen. That's one accord. Do we have to agree on everything? No, that's not what this is about. We're people. But people gathered. Third thing we see in verse 47. This is my favorite. Praising God. See, the people praised God and had favor with all the people. See, when the church, Christians, have one accord, one mind, and do what's called of them to do, they shared meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were praising God. We're praising God this morning and having favor. They had favor with all people. All of a sudden now, what we see is this. See, here we are in our church here at Spring Hill. What was known about as to what the early church, well, this is what we know. They were an evangelizing church. I'm coming back to something. Hang on. They were a church that evangelized. They gave the good news to the people around them. Are we doing that? Are we a witness to that testimony of telling people about the good news of Christ? I pray that, do we believe that we have become that and there's more to do, but that we will have much more to do even in this. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 us here today. Jesus started with 12. And what happened with that? See, if they were in a position that the Lord was adding to those who were being saved, then so must we become known. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved because they praised God and they were an evangelizing church. See, the crucifixion, the resurrection, all of these things were being preached, and responses were immediate to that message. I believe that we have an opportunity before us as a church, as Christians, to just show the calm in the storm, to be concerned and to love each other, love our neighbors. Part of that is by dispersing and having a small group here, and that's it. That's fine. That's part of what we should be doing, but it needs to continue. We will get back in congregational worship. There's nothing like it. The most awesome worship experience I ever had was with 7,000 men in Mobile, Alabama for our Promise Keepers. Wow. And I tell you what, this was a close second this morning, Eric. A couple of songs. I was in the spirit with my wife. And I tell you what, we're going to stand up. Freedom prepared me freedom to worship prepare me to bring a very difficult message. What did God's people do? They praised him. And so will we. I got another question for you. I like questions. It makes you think. Where was Jesus' home church? Anybody know? Was it First Baptist Jerusalem? Was it the First Nazarene in Nazareth? Chris, no. What was it, a non-denominational, like maybe Little Bethlehem or something on the hill? I asked that same question to a few people lately. What was Jesus' home church? Now, I believe in home church. Don't mislead this. Don't get this wrong. I believe in having a home church, but I want us to put things in perspective in light of where we are today. Where was, this is what some of the replies were. After I thought about this for a few days, believe me, I did. And I believe it is deeper than just saying that Jesus was the church, which he's the foundation, the cornerstone of the church, right? But Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of the foundation of the church. See, he's the one who takes away the sins of the world. But Peter really got it. I want to go back to Peter, and I want to turn quickly to Matthew chapter 16. Peter, this is where the term church comes from in its totality. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 through 19. Let me read this for you, church. And this is Jesus. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Because they were talking about all kinds of Elijah and John the Baptist and Jeremiah the prophets. But Jesus wanted to know, who do you see? He's talking to his disciples, his most beloved. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, I love Simon Peter. I can relate to him. And he answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." There's a lot to teach your church. Hang on a second. This is what I consider Peter's confession of his faith in Christ. I firmly believe, after doing a very deep Greek word study, that Jesus says, and there's differences in the rock, which Peter's a pebble, and Jesus says, no, he says, "I am the foundation, the cornerstone." And he said, "Peter, on your belief and your understanding of who I am," as he asked, "Who do you say I am? You are the Christ." It was that confession that said, okay, that's the beginnings of the church. Those are the ones who have been called out, the ecclesia. It's the people. It's the people who confess the same thing that Peter confesses. And if you look at it, that's what we say when we confess Jesus is Lord, right? We the church is not the building or the buildings. It's the people in the church. It's the people in the community. It's the people in the homes, the people that are driving right now. I hope you're not putting this where you're in danger, please. Wherever you are, if you've confessed all of these things that we've talked about so far, then you're the church. You've been called out. See, the church has been forced to go back to basics, very basics, and form in-gatherings in our homes and other places. The church has finally left the building. Now, that's going to upset some people. But there's nobody here that's going to kick me out today, right? Y'all good? Y'all good with that? The church has finally left the building. Could it be that that is part of God's plan all along? I don't have a clue as to what's in God's mind, but I got to look at some things. I'm like, the opportunities that are abounding here are nothing more than God. Is it horrible? Yes. Will people die? Yes. But God can work anything out for the good of those who call on Him. And in all things that we do, what do here, church? We glorify God. No matter what, we will have joy. But I want to talk about the buildings we worship in for a moment. And I don't think that this is over. It'll be a while. And one day it will be all right. Right now it's all right if you stay home. Okay, but there'll be a time when we get back together. And I don't think it would be all right with God if you stayed like that. He desires for us to worship in a congregational setting. It's a biblical. I can make a absolutely strong biblical case for it. It is nice to have this venue, and we will continue this in some way, shape, form, or another. Now, for those who are shut in, for those who are sick, they live in a facility that takes care of their needs and provides for them. That's a whole different situation. God understands that. But if we're able to, the Bible says, forsake not the gathering thereof. The ingathering is happening in the homes. We're forced to do that because of health reasons. When that's lifted, and it will be, I want to see every pew full. In all of God's houses, because He calls us to do that. The church building, I believe in the church building. It's where we come to worship, so we call it. The church building is where a man and a woman come to say, I do, and to get into a covenant with the Lord. And it is where we come to dedicate our children to the Lord. It's where we come to walk down the aisle and say yes to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You can do that right where you are. You have an opportunity to do that. I promise you, you will. And we'll work that out. But this is a place where we do that as well. It's a place that we come here to serve the Lord God and the Lord Jesus with all the ministries that He calls us to do. It's where we come to sing praises to His holy name. Listen to men of God preach His holy word for enlightenment, correction, and encouragement. It's where we come to glorify Him through the memory of a loved one that has been called home to heaven and is now sitting at the feet of Jesus. We've had a lot of that lately. It's where we come to find peace in troubling times. Well, find peace in troubling times. Right where you are through this medium. There's a lot of uncomfortable situations that are happening and will happen. We just need to find hope where many find a hopeless situation. We have hope. See, meeting in the church building to worship the true and ever-living God matters. The buildings matter. They have value. It's kind of like the headquarters building where ministries and services are based out of, and they're planned, where staff meets, worship events, and leaders meet to discuss important issues that have an effect. It's also where we worship in a congregational setting. The Bible says it commands us not to forsake the gathering. We will meet again in this building, and we will worship the Lord when we gather, as we're doing right now. But in the meantime, we got to do something different. And there's absolutely no way that in the gatherings in the homes or off campus that would have happened at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning without a cataclysmic pandemic event that we'd be reaching the people that we're reaching right now. So a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement. See, once this has passed, and it will, we will come together, but it will be different. I believe that once the church assembles and worships in a congregational setting, boy, that first one, Eric, it's going to be awesome. We're going to see that God's people will be ready to worship him again. They're worship where you are, but when we come back together, we'll be ready to worship and to serve him in ways that only he knows how that will come out to be. I believe that people will get saved. I believe that people will get right with the Lord. I believe that he has been right there for all of us and for them all along. He has not forsaken us, and he will not forget us. He gives us promises, and the people will gather, and they will praise his name. So what do? We have a time of decision here, right? We're going to have a time of decision. So what do? Well, I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See, that's for lost people. And this leads us back to God's promises. Evangelize in your homes and with your neighbors the best that you can. Social media. Pray as if you have never prayed before. Read the Bible. There's a concept. And wherever you are, just praise him. Praise God. Now, I'll go live again at 6 o'clock Wednesday. It may be in my office. It may be the spring in the prayer garden. I don't know where I'll be. And there'll be a short, more of a devotional, encouraging message. And I'll take prayer requests. I can do that on Facebook Live. And I'll have other methods that I'm going to show you in a moment of how to request, give prayer requests. But if this message has touched you and changed your life, that's the business God is in, by the way, then I ask you, beg with you, plead with you, if you need to talk to someone, you want to talk to me, there's the number of the church, 318-894-8445. Again, that is 318-894-8445. If you call that right now, my wife will answer that phone. And you can just leave a message with her, a name and a number. I'll get back with you later, or you can talk to her. But I'll show you in a moment after we have another song Eric's about to sing here of how to further contact us and how we can stay connected. You see, when you boil it all down, when you remove religion, when you remove traditions, when you move the people out of the walls of the church, it's about one thing, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the basic foundation of everything. Nothing else really matters. See, all we have right now is a one-on-one with Jesus. And you know something? That's all he desires. This is all he's desired from the very beginning. He wants to be your number one. Let's pray. Father, we take a moment just to pray. And if this message has touched hearts, then light up the phone. If it's busy, call back. If it's no one answers, just leave a message, Father. Tell them that. We'll be there as a church, as a pastor, to meet the needs. The spiritual needs are going to be off the chart. People are going to lose their jobs. They're not going to know how to pay their next bill. The rent, electric bill. I'm with them. These are difficult, scary times, but we will have no fear. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. However we can minister, Father, in these days, use it. Call them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is good. All the time? All the time? I heard that all the way from over here. It's been good being with you this morning. I'm going to show you some information. If you have a personal request, pastor@springhillbaptist.org. I get these emails. They're for me only. No one else has access to this. They're very private. I will keep it that way, very personal. We have a website, www.springhillbaptistringle.org. It was down this morning. I think the devil's trying to get in there, but we have greater he was in me than he was in the world. Amen. And that's where we're going to go. You can listen to this sermon. We'll have a tab for that. We'll get that online today. We're looking at doing live venues from a different perspective. This was very crude, limited equipment, but God is going to do anything, can do anything with the minimal amount from our part. 318-894-8445 is live now. Mona's in my study, or you can leave a message at a later date. And I will get back with you if you have any questions. It's been good being with you this morning. Deacon Chris Webb, would you come on up and close us out in prayer, and we will be dismissing. If anything urgent comes up, I'll get back with you through this medium until we change some things around. Again, if we can, we're looking at new equipment, cameras and what have you, to do a live feed or even do on demand. We'll talk about that later as a church, and we'll get with you. Deacon Chris Webb, would you close us in prayer, please?